Well, good afternoon, Clear Creek County. This is Lori Beckel, finally getting the board dialed in with the What's Upstream show here on Wednesday. It is June 24th. I'm in the studio today with one of our wonderful county commissioners, Rebecca Lloyd, and we'll get started with Rebecca in just a minute. I do want to say that our dear Mark Cuccinelli will not be with us today, and I'm sure he's missing being on the show with us, and we'll be back with Mark. And let's see, the police judge and the event coordinator from Georgetown will be on with us next week, so that'll be a great show right before the 4th of July. Lots of things soon to happen here in this county, and maybe some of those things we'll be talking about today with Rebecca. So this is, again, Lori Beckel coming to you from KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9 on the listening dial, streaming worldwide at clearcreekradio.com. Thank you all for being with us today. And it's just great to have Rebecca in the studio. So thanks for being here, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. How are you doing as county commissioner now, what, about a year and a half in?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It continues to be fascinating, and I'm getting to know the county so much better, talking to a lot of people, and people are very willing to let me know what's going on in their neighborhood, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
So you're hearing from people in this county.
Yeah.
When something's going on and they have an opinion about it, they're calling their commissioner.
Yes, they are.
Well, that's terrific. And you pick up the phone.
I pick up the phone if I'm not in meetings all day, and then I try to catch up later. And people are also very willing to come and make public comment, as have you, Lori.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have. Yeah, so you often invite people to come and make public comment when it's an issue that the other commissioners should be hearing as well.
Yes, and people are free to come every time we have a public meeting, and there's always time to make public comment. Even if you haven't talked to a commissioner ahead of time, just feel free to come in and let us know,
right,
you know, what's on your mind.
So you don't need to RSVP.
Correct.
You can just show up, and that's really the first thing that happens once you gavel in a meeting.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And are you the person with the gavel these days?
I am the current county commissioner. Jody Hartman Ball will take over in January.
I see. Very good. So you facilitate the meetings. I'm sure they're in good hands with you having the gavel.
Well, thank you.
So, and remind us, county commissioner meetings are
first and third Tuesdays, unless there's a conflict, and then we'll bump it a week forward.
Okay.
First and third Tuesdays, starting at 8:30 in the Georgetown Courthouse Board of County Commissioners hearing room.
Okay, very good. And are those meetings still on Zoom?
Yes, they are.
So people can still kind of tune in on their computers.
Absolutely. And you can participate in public comment.
Oh.
We usually ask the people who are in the room to make their comments first. And then you need to raise your hand, get promoted to panelist, and then you can make your public comment.
Well, fabulous. All right. And it's so wonderful that, you know, your ears are to the ground and that you want to hear what your constituents have to say and what they're concerned about. That's wonderful.
That is absolutely the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we got elected to protect our county from all sorts of things. You know, George and Jody are very active in the state capitol, keeping an eye on legislation, making sure we don't have things that are imposed upon us that we can't afford, pushing, trying to help us be able to get more funds in the county,
mm-hmm.
and make sure the laws are helpful to the county, keep us safer, and it's a never-ending process. I mean, you have 64 counties in Colorado, and all the county commissioners are lobbying on behalf of one bill or another. We belong to the Colorado Counties, Inc., which is a lobbying organization for all 64 counties, and we try to work together to get things that rise us all up and benefit us.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of political party.
Correct.
There's a real spirit of collaboration at CCI?
We do our best. Uh-huh. There's some people who, you know, don't want to play ball, but mostly people are there to help their counties.
Mm-hmm.
And help issues. Other counties too.
Yeah, and county issues, county to county, there are probably some similarities.
Absolutely, yes.
By law, each county is required to do certain things.
Correct,
right?
Yes. And one thing I learned being in this job is that counties are considered a subdivision of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So the state is like our boss. Mm. So they can impose things on us, but if all 64 counties are pushing back on it, they usually listen to us.
Yeah.
or at least a majority of the counties.
Yeah. And there is a second organization now for counties, is there not?
There is, let's see, what's the acronym?
Is it CCAT or something like that?
Yeah, CCAT. I think it's Colorado Counties Acting Together, but I'm not positive about the first C.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, absolutely. That's a smaller group that tends to be more of a Democratic group.
Mm.
The other one, of course, is both Democrats and Republicans.
Mm-hmm. So. And every county has a seat or representative that goes to CCI.
CCI, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Well, so a year and a half in, are you glad? Are you still glad you ran?
Yes, yes. It has been a surprise in many ways. I didn't realize how much commuting to Denver I would do. I'm the delegate to the Denver Regional Council of Governments. Yes, Clear Creek is in the Denver Regional Council of Governments.
Sometimes referred to as Dr. Cog.
Yes, Dr. Yeah. Cog. And that's an organization that helps provide funds to help counties. I'm kind of focusing on the transportation part of it, just because we have I-70 running through us. And we just were approved by Dr. Cog to join their Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Oh.
And that has to go through Dr. Cog, and then it has to be approved, I think, by the Department of Transportation and the governor. But we don't see any problem with that happening, and that will give us access to more funds. We have to apply for them. We have to make a good argument for why we need a pedestrian bridge. Crossed I-70 over to Carlson from Idaho Springs would be very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to improve the bridges around Dumont, Lawson, Downeyville, try to make them more pedestrian-friendly as opposed to what were initially built when I-70... you know, split our county in half.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we had a Dr. Cog rep, their transportation rep, come talk to the board. And this was when they were renovating dealing with the flooding in the courthouse. So we were meeting in Dumont Fire Station. And I had him go back on I-70 through that crazy intersection in Dumont, you know, kind of that five-way intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw him next, he said, "That's crazy. That's unsafe." And I'm like, yes, that's one of our priorities. So hoping we can get something accomplished there.
Yeah, there's nothing like personal experience to persuade someone that there's a need.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
So being a part of this metro planning group, so bridges and... you know, intersections,
yes.
Things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Are there other aspects to that membership that will be helpful?
Yes. Yeah, they have a Council on Aging. They mm. have housing. They have refurbishing downtowns. It's kind of a helpful organization to belong to.
Right. We've had the people involved in the Council on Aging on the show.
Oh, Jayla, yes.
Jayla was on several months ago now, and boy, was that a valuable show. Mm-hmm. So you'll have to tip us off when there are new things to ask them, and we can get them back on the show. Because we do have, you know, an aging population here in Clear Creek County. It's one of the important demographics going on here.
Yeah, Colorado has an aging population, but yeah, we're feeling it acutely.
Right, yeah.
Well, could I move on?
You sure can.
Really wanted to discuss some of our priorities.
Please.
When we started, the first thing we said to the county manager was, we need to prioritize getting the budget in line.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, people still think we're in the crazy days of lots of money coming in from mining, and we all know that's not the case. So what we've been doing is, actually the last board sharply reduced the staffing to save money, and they what we're doing is we're looking at a lot of the buildings that the county had purchased over the years, and now they're not fully used.
Or used at all.
And we'd like to, after the flood in the basement of the courthouse, we're renovating down there so that we can bring in people from the annex, which is the building across...
from the Alpine.
Yes, across from the Alpine.
Yeah.
And that's Rose Street, I think. I could be wrong.
I think Rose Street is right there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody knows the Alpine, though.
Yes. Okay, good. Good. And so, and then the other problem we're facing is that we're getting... Go ahead.
So bringing staff in from the annex
and then being able to sell the annex.
Okay.
Yes.
And bringing him in to be housed in the basement of the courthouse.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And then, like, okay, so we all know that the federal government isn't giving as many grants to states, particularly Colorado. So when the feds don't give Colorado grants, the state can't give us grants. So we have... less money to deal with than we had in prior years. So we're like, okay, we're saving money by avoiding the capital costs of maintaining buildings that aren't fully used. And if we can sell them, that will help. But then we're getting less money from the state. So that's one of the things we're dealing with. Our businesses have also seen a decrease in visitors. This past year, due to, you know, the bad snow season, the increase in gas prices, and general inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So decreases in visitors are also decrease in, you know, municipal and county sales tax receipts. So, you know, we kind of feel like we're taking a step forward and then two steps back and then another step forward. But anyway, we have been working to... manage our budget and be prudent and fiscally conservative to be able to provide the services we absolutely have to provide.
Mm-hmm.
And those would be our priority, you know, the safety of our constituents.
Yeah. So do you start a new budget year July 1st in the county? Is that the fiscal year?
No.
State budget begins.
Yeah, we're different.
Maybe in the fall?
Yeah, late fall.
Okay, right. Okay. Yeah, because you're usually approving the budget in about December?
Final approval, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but we start on it. You know, the staff works up everything. They bring everything to the Board of County Commissioners, and then, you know, we work together to figure out what we can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to one of the issues that is in the top of a lot of people's minds, which is Charlie's Place. And I just want to say up front that I have always appreciated Charlie's Place. Since 2013, we've adopted two dogs from Charlie's Place, including our current one, Michaela. And Charlie's Place came before the BOCC, and asked for help with funding for additional staff and safety.
Mm. When was this?
Sue first came before us, I think last fall.
Okay.
As we were working on the budget,
mm-hmm.
and has continued. She came to the mayors and commissioners meeting a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago.
And this is Sue.
And I apologize. She is the head of Charlie's Place. I just spaced on her last name.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you know, she made such a compelling push to give Charlie's Place more money because they need a lot of safety upgrades. You can't just have one person there, particularly when we have jail holds there, which means if somebody's arrested and put in jail and they have animals, the sheriff will, or animal control will take them and house them at Charlie's Place.
Mm-hmm.
And she has had people pounding on the door after hours demanding to get their dog back. And so we need to make it safe for the people there.
And these are people who are being let out of jail or all kinds of people?
All kinds of people.
Okay.
Somebody's brother may try to go get their dog, or somebody may be let out of jail, but he had a vicious dog and their animal control took them mm-hmm. and placed them in Charlie's Place. So there has been some issues there, and we're very concerned about keeping people safe.
Mm-hmm.
We did get another half FTE for Sue last year because I really pushed for it, but that's not enough.
Yeah.
We have had at Gilpin County most recently has expressed concern over their continued support of Charlie's Place. And from our perspective, they're getting a great deal. You know, we do house their dogs. They don't spend that much money a year covering us, but it, you know, it still is needed.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a little controversy over a recent meeting. The BOCC has asked the staff to work with Charlie's Place, community members, Gilpin, Friends of Charlie's Place, to help come up with proposals that could help better fund Charlie's Place.
And probably create sustainability.
Sustainability, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they had a meeting in mid-June to explore the options. This was not a public meeting before the Board of County Commissioners. To date, no recommendations have been presented to the Board of County Commissioners, and any such recommendations would have to be presented in our public meeting, and no decisions can be made without a public meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, people are, actually any time, but, you know, particularly that meeting, public comment would be welcome. And we are hoping... that some brilliant, caring person in the community can work with friends and neighbors to give us some recommendations that can help fund Charlie's Place, because we are in very difficult financial circumstances, as I was kind of outlining earlier.
The county has its own challenges, and then Charlie's Place also has challenges.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Yeah. Are county commissions in the state of Colorado required to have an animal shelter?
Counties are required to have a place to put animals. Some counties lease space at larger animal shelters.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own, and people, appreciate the donation of the land.
Right.
And like having it here.
That land was donated specifically with this purpose in mind.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. And a no-kill shelter.
Correct.
As I understand.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. So.
So when you say required to have a place to put animals, that sounds more like animal control.
Yes.
So, which is a safety
absolutely
issue.
Yes, yes. We are not required to have puppies for adoption.
I see.
But that's always kind of gone hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So our shelter kind of combines several functions into our one shelter.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
And this group that met sounds more like, what, a working group?
Yes.
That the hope is that the working group will create some ideas to sustain Charlie's Place.
Right.
And that those ideas then would come before both commissions, both in Gilpin County and in Clear Creek.
Yes. Yeah, that they'll come before the boards, and that will be public meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We understand the history. We understand the importance. I love my dogs I've gotten from there. So
yeah, I think all of our commissioners, as far as I know, you're all dog lovers.
And we all have
you
dogs.
You all have dogs.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Cats, probably. And chickens. And what else?
Let's see. What does Jody have? Bees and turkeys. Yes, exactly.
Animal lovers, for sure. But it's also a time of kind of serious tightening of budgets.
Yes. Yes.
And,
yes. And you know, we, per the laws, we cannot raise taxes to support anything.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go to the voters and ask them if they are willing to pay more taxes to support X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So, for example, when we did the 1A last year to support EMS and fire. That came out of, that increased the mills, so that increased the taxes on our property.
And went to the vote of the people.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are other ways to raise money. You can increase sales taxes, but while some of the visitors pay that, we all have to pay that too anytime we go to the grocery store or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third way is the state just changed the law such that counties can raise their lodging tax
mm-hmm.
from 2% to 6%. And that's an option where people, you know, who rent short-term rentals would be paying into it, or RV parks or hotels, motels. So that would be more of visitors paying, mm-hmm. you know, from my perspective, it would be visitors paying to help support all of our services that we spend money on to help the visitors, like, you know.
Like emergency services.
Like if they get in a car wreck, or they
right.
break their leg hiking, or mountain biking,
yeah.
Or rafting. So,
well, let's move on. I do, Mark and I know that this is an issue that people get very interested and upset about, the whole animal, you know, shelter issue. I think we're going to probably do another show on this, but really appreciate your background.
Sure,
and,
sure. Get Sue on too. She's
yeah.
she's well spoken and
very good.
Yeah.
So, but let's move along to the next thing on your list, Rebecca.
Well, I'm the commissioner that serves on the Clear Creek Regional Housing Authority Board. We have, that is a voter-approved initiative to support affordable housing in Clear Creek, and that's also funded by lodging taxes. And so if the lodging taxes go up, they will have more money. We have a new director, Erica Dubek, who's a go-getter, and she's been great so far, her first month, I think. And we just received a Colorado Department of Local Affairs grant for deed-restricted affordable housing in Georgetown.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. That's
terrific.
That is terrific. So we're moving ahead. We're getting things accomplished. Now,
would that be for newly built housing units or some of the current ones that have already been built?
No, I think it's for the new ones.
For new ones.
Yes, but
okay.
I will double-check on that.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I also serve on the I-70 coalition and the I-70 collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. These boards I serve on to monitor the I-70 CDOT work, basically to help minimize adverse impacts on Clear Creek County. There are people on the board also from Summit and Eagle counties, and I totally understand the frustration with the blasting on Floyd Hill, as that is my commute from Evergreen, where my district is located, to the county seat in Georgetown. In fact, today I had to do 103 over to Little Bear to get to this meeting on time because of blasting.
Yeah.
But CDOT has announced that they would be winding down blasting this summer.
Yeah, I thought I did read that.
Yeah, and I thought that was going to happen before now, but still today they were blasting. So
yeah.
That'll
mean an end to the 20-minute stoppage.
20 to 45.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. However, they will be working on a new roundabout at Hidden Valley.
Okay.
So that's going to back up things a bit there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty dangerous intersection right now.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
With
and not
people
quite,
entering I-70 with not much of a lane to
right.
merge in.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
I agree.
So safety-wise, that's probably really an important priority. But I can see how it's going to mess up traffic again
right
there.
Right. But I'm hoping it won't mess up the people who are just kind of passing through,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it won't be that huge backup, you know, past the top of Floyd Hill and, you know, down the hill further. But, and the reason why that isn't good for us is that then we get them, you know, stopped on I-70 running their cars in Idaho Springs for a couple hours. So it's like, I'm hoping that at least will keep moving through.
Right.
With a good percentage of them stopping by and having something to eat and shop and all that good stuff.
That would be nice. What is the date in mind for when this... I don't want to call it a debacle because hopefully it really will improve things. Yeah. But when is it supposed to be finally finished?
2029.
Okay. Wow. So we have 3 more years.
I know.
Of this.
I know. Yeah. Okay. So it's in stages, and it's pretty complex. I'm sure people have looked at the map with the flyover.
Yeah.
Roads and everything. And the reason is, as we all know, people will speed down Floyd Hill, and then there's basically a 90-degree turn at the bottom of Floyd Hill when you run into the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been very dangerous for years and getting more dangerous with the increased volume of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, you know, since COVID, more and more people discovered the mountains. And so they all want to go up here. All the time, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, we sure do hope that it's going to mitigate some of the traffic issues eventually. But is there any hope for any other kind of transit solution in the future for
I-70? We work on that at the collaborative effort. It's right now, the best thing is Bustang, mm-hmm. Snowstang, Pegasus.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion about a maglev rail or something mm-hmm. is kind of pie in the sky because of the cost. They are very excited, they meaning CDOT and the governor's office, about having a train going from Denver up to Steamboat
mm-hmm.
and Lucky Gilpin. It will have a stop in Rawlingsville.
Mm-hmm.
However, that doesn't help us as much unless it decreases some of the traffic that head up 40 to go to Winter Park.
Mm-hmm.
So if that decreases that traffic and people get really excited about the train, that may help us.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have run into, you know, backups past Empire, so it's like I try to not go at the peak times, but sometimes, you know, people are on an academic schedule and they just have to come visit you at Christmas time.
Right. Yeah, well, and everybody's in such a hurry. And the hope is that, you know, the one thing this all of this work on I-70 does is create a safer, way to travel. Because
and that
people
is the
drive
plan.
Way
yes.
too fast.
Oh, I know.
They?
We tried. George and Jody fought to get legislation to allow us to put speed cameras on Floyd Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And even the state patrol supported it, saying there's no way they can pull somebody over on Floyd Hill because it's just not safe.
Mm-hmm.
And speed cameras would help. But apparently, one of the state legislators down the hill didn't want his constituents mad because they were being pulled over in Greenwood Village or something. And so we're going to try to push for it again.
Good.
And make it, you know, more, it's like when there is a, you know, narrow lane. So I'm sure everybody knows that putting in the Mountain Express lane, the Peak Period Shoulder lane,
mm-hmm.
narrowed all the other lanes. There are no shoulders. It is not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe tailor it to our situation. Maybe we'll be able to get that through next year.
Mm.
We won't give up on it, but that was a big disappointment.
Yeah, I sure hope it gets run again. Well, let's take a little bit of a break, Rebecca, and we'll come back in just a minute. In the meantime, enjoy the music.
Like a runner with a spear, from the shadows he'll appear, bringing a vision to the seer, with the eyes of watcher for the magic of Nika.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the What's Upstream show. Lori Beckel here today. Mark Cuccinelli will be back next week. You're listening to KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9 on your listening dial and streaming worldwide at clearcreekradio.com. So good to have you today. Rebecca Lloyd is filling us in on a lot of very interesting updates here in our county. I do want to mention one PSA, and that is that this Saturday at 11 a.m. in Citizens Park is our monthly Ice Out rally and protest. So if you have some things that you'd like to say, you have a place to say it, a safe place to say it, and that would be at the Ice Out rally. This is sponsored by the Clear Creek Democrats, and 11 a.m. at Citizens Park in Idaho Springs. So please join us. So we've been talking about a bunch of really interesting things. Rebecca updated us about the housing authority. Short-term rentals have been quite an issue here in Clear Creek County, Rebecca, and I'm wondering kind of what the current status is of short-term rentals in Clear Creek County.
Sure, and that was one of the issues I campaigned on. I was getting a lot of concern expressed by people across the county, but particularly in Evergreen. Mm-hmm. I had one friend who was on a little road of six houses, five of which turned into short-term rentals.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so that can really undermine your sense of community and, you know, support for local schools and everything else. But anyway, the county has made an agreement with Airbnb such that we will give them a list of the permitted short-term rental properties. And if they are not permitted, then Airbnb is taking them off their listing.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's terrific.
Yes. I mean, that doesn't stop people from doing Craigslist, but, you know, we try to monitor that. We do go after them, but sometimes it's a moving target. The county does limit the number of short-term rentals. I believe it's to about 4% of houses in the county.
Okay.
So, although my friend felt like it was, you know, 90% of her road was all short-term rentals,
right.
Across the county, it's only 4%. I've been pushing to have a more diffuse permitting, but the current reg or the current way they allocate a permit is like first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
These are not inheritable. You can't pass them down to the next person who buys your house. They have to then apply for their own permit if they want to use it as a short-term rental.
And they go to the bottom of the line?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, yeah. They mm-hmm. don't get bumped up at all because it used to be one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way for us to help manage this. We also will be reaching out to VBRO. Craigslist, again, is not as manageable.
Right.
But then again, as a renter, I wouldn't go to Craigslist. There's been too many scams on Craigslist. I had a friend who had a family knocked on her door ready to move in for the week, and she's like, I didn't rent my house.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Watch out.
Wow. And there also is a way people can share concerns about a certain residence.
Oh, absolutely. Report it to the county. Yes.
Yeah, so yes. On the county website, there is, the last time I looked, there was a place to share a concern online. And I'm guessing then that staff get back.
Right. Very good. And if you can't find that, just call the county main number.
Yeah.
And they will direct you to the right place.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, nobody answers that phone anymore.
Has it gotten better or no?
I don't think anybody answers that county number, 679-2300. And there's usually an automatic answering machine that sends you to different departments. I would imagine that the department that handles short-term rentals would be land use. Is that what your understanding would be?
Planning.
Planning and land use, maybe.
You know what? Let me get back to you, Lori.
Okay.
And Lori Beckel will know as soon as I do.
Okay. Terrific. Well, I'm imagining that when you were having to downsize staff, you know, we lost an actual person who answered the phone and could field those kind of questions.
Yeah.
And it sure would be nice if the county budget was such that we could have a actual person answering the phone again. That would be nice.
I agree. We're too small of a county. I mean, it's hard for funding, but also we're a small county. We want to be a small county. We want to be able to reach out to a person.
Right.
So I understand that.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it's very hard to figure out what the right number is to push when you have kind of a general question.
Right.
So,
I agree.
Anyway, all right. So SDRs. That's where things are with SDRs. Moving along. So, gosh, Rebecca, we're all concerned about fire mitigation.
Yes.
And after this very dry winter and all of the issues with the dead standing dead trees, killed by the beetles, we're concerned. So talk to us a little bit about fire mitigation, if you would.
Absolutely. And it's not just an East End, a Middle, or a West End problem. It is across the county. It's Jeffco. It's Boulder. But we were being very proactive, and we had all of our pine beetle trees taken down last fall. We had 17 trees taken down.
Wow. This is on your property.
On our property in Evergreen.
Uh-huh.
And then in December, we had those horrific winds. We had another 8 trees come down, one of which was 66 and a half feet long because it was on the ground.
Gosh.
And I counted 103 rings. So beautiful old fir.
Mm.
And then this spring, I had Evergreen Fire Rescue comes out and gives you a fire assessment,
mm-hmm.
you know, around your house. And she also brought their forester with her.
Mm.
And he noted another 30 trees that had been infested with pine beetles.
Oh, my goodness.
So we took those down. And it's a much different looking
property.
So you're
over 100 trees.
No, that was about 47 plus 8, 53 trees.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But a lot of trees. And so anyway, I totally get it. And it's sometimes hard when your neighbor doesn't take down their trees right away, and then their pine beetles get in your property.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening all over. We don't have the staff to be able to go out and fix all those. Although today when I was coming up over 103, Clear Creek County Road and Bridge were out working on, it looked like, fire mitigation along our county road up there. Or it's a state road, but we maintain it.
Yeah. Terrific.
So that was encouraging. And then a really great project I was involved in May was with the Clear Creek Fire Authority, the Jefferson, the Evergreen Fire and Rescue, the Sheriff's Department's EMS, and Clear Creek's OEM conducted an evacuation.
The Office of Emergency Management.
Yes.
That Clarissa,
yes.
She is amazing.
She organized everyone for this.
Yeah.
We did an evacuation drill off of Highway 103.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of roads up there that are one way in, one way out. And this gave people a chance to pack up their car, think about what they would need, who they need, what animals they need to pack up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had designated evacuation routes based on a theoretical fire. This one, we have some illegal camping in the Beaver Brook area. So we said, okay, the illegal fire, you know, somebody's fire pit, you know, exploded, high winds or whatever, and they have this computer program that shows you where the fire goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on that, that's, so some people are like, well, I want to go this way. And we're like, well, no, for this evacuation drill, we need to have you go this way because of where the fire was predicted to go. And we had 1,300 people sign up for it.
Right.
And for my little station, I personally clicked in 179 cars and got to say hi to people and thank them for doing this because this is huge. It gave our emergency professionals so much information
mm-hmm.
about how to handle this in the event of a real fire evacuation. And it gave all my neighbors and friends a chance to, you know, seriously think about what they would need to pack.
Right. Prepare.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you need? I mean, look around your house.
Mm-hmm.
What can you absolutely not do without? You know, obviously, you know, personal papers, family history, photographs. I mean, things that we can't replace and we would be kicking ourselves if we forgot to bring.
Right.
But that said, you know, please don't bring all of your vehicles and boats on the evacuation route because that will clog it up and slow it down for other people.
Right.
But it was a very good drill, highly successful, and it will be repeated in other parts of
mm-hmm.
the county.
Mm-hmm.
It one of the guys over at Evergreen Fire Rescue was like, well, I hope it turns out better than the last one when only 20 people showed up. Mm. You know, you don't want more emergency professionals than you have residents participating. And we didn't have that in spades. This was very well attended, and they got a lot of good information from it.
So. Yeah. So it really is useful to think about sort of the ready, set, go.
Yes.
Kind of precautions and what we do to prevent wildfire, what we do to be prepared for a fire, and what you're saying, so important that people really do have that go bag packed, or at least a go list.
Yeah, a go list, because you don't want to have, you know, expired meds or meds right. that you need on a daily basis, you know, packed away in your bin or something to put in the car. So that was an issue that came up as people were talking about it.
Yeah.
But yes, absolutely a list and the things that you can put in there. So like I had a suitcase, one weekend when fire danger looked really bad, I had a suitcase packed with, you know, family history. You know, old documents mm-hmm. that I haven't scanned in anywhere yet, which I should do. But, you know, just be proactive, think about it, and look around your property. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have juniper bushes, which are lovely and beautiful, but if you have them all around your house, they're very
vulnerable. They're a fire hazard.
They are a fire hazard.
Yeah.
So I had spent money on putting juniper around my house, and then I spent time and effort pulling it all out. So it is something to think about as you, you know, it's like there is not enough money to rely on somebody else to help you. Mm-hmm. You need to harden your house, look around, don't have overhanging evergreen trees over your house. Mm-hmm. You know, be proactive. One thing Evergreen Fire Rescue Assessor would say is, you know, very first thing today, get your rake and rake 5 feet out from the foundation around your house, mm-hmm. just so you don't have those dry grasses, dry pine needles right against your house that can catch fire.
Yeah.
And then you start expanding from there.
Yeah. A little bit at a time. It all helps.
Yes, it does.
And you're mentioning Evergreen Fire Authority and our own Clear Creek.
Yeah, Evergreen Fire Rescue, which handles the east side.
Right.
So Evergreen and the Floyd Hill parts of Evergreen. Mm-hmm. And then the Clear Creek Fire Authority represents western part of Floyd Hill and then to the Continental Divide.
And Clear Creek Fire Authority will also do home inspections. And they have a lot of information to share about, as Rebecca says, hardening your house to try to prevent, you know, losing your house in a wildland fire. And quite honestly, that is the way you protect your house, because people, you know, our resources are limited. And if there is a fire, those houses that have people who have taken the time to harden their house, those are the ones that are worth saving. And so this is really important. I know in York Gulch we've done a lot of fire mitigation up there. Our community up there has been so supportive in getting, you know, a handle on our forest, and we're becoming a FireWise community. And again, it's something you can look up and look into what it takes to become a FireWise community. Very important, Rebecca. Thank you so much for talking. Anything else about fire mitigation that you would mention?
That's what I wanted to talk about, and I'm really pleased for your inputs too. It's something we all have to do together. You know, it's kind of scary. Back in 2002, we were like the one house really doing it, and my neighbors complained that our taking down some trees were ruining her privacy. And I think people are more aware now, as you said, fire aware.
Fire aware, for sure. Okay, and the Clear Creek Commission is hitting the road this summer.
We are. Your Clear Creek Board of County Commissioners are having our town halls again. The first one we did was in Evergreen on May 27th. The next one is coming up for Georgetown Silver Plume Empire, and that will be held at the Georgetown Courthouse in the BOCC room on June 29th. And these all start at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll have one in the Downeyville, Lawson, Dumont area at the Clear Creek Fire Authority Station Number 1 on July 13th, also at 6 p.m. Next is your neck of the woods, St. Mary's Fall River Road, York Gulch, at the Alice Schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be July 22nd at 6 p.m. And then we come over to Idaho Springs. We'll be in the Health and Wellness Center and Zoom. That's one of the few places we're meeting in that have a Zoom. So if you want to Zoom, that is August 1st, 6 p.m. Zoom link will be on the county website. And again, that's Idaho Springs Health and Wellness Center. And then the last one will be at the Floyd Hill Fire Station on August 24th.
Well, terrific. And the agenda for these town halls?
This year, it's a budget again, and opening it up for all we get great questions. I mean, people who make an effort to come to these town halls usually come prepared to ask about, you know, various matters of concern in the county.
Mm-hmm. So open to kind of any of those
absolutely
questions,
yes,
issues, concerns. Well, very good. And lucky for us that our three-person county commission, Board of County Commissioners, are so interested in hearing from us. So that is absolutely terrific. I guess I can't help but wonder what the impact of the federal situation has been on our county.
It's been devastating. I mean, when they cut off all the SNAP benefits,
mm-hmm,
we were all rushing around to get food to the food banks. And Sarah Cassano, our human services director, is so on top of things, organized everyone to reach out to the community and support our most vulnerable people.
Mm-hmm.
It has loosened up a little bit. Money is flowing back, but it's still constrained. Whenever this current administration gets mad at Colorado, they like to punish us. And that, you know, it's not the fault of some kid who's missing his lunch because, you know, somebody in the state legislature made a rule that the current administration doesn't like. So, I feel like sometimes I feel like we're on our own. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of our neighbors, look out for each other. And then other times I am just so frustrated that everything is political now. It's, mm-hmm, you know, not we the people, we have a right to happiness, or right to pursue happiness. And it's like we need to help each other.
Right.
And just hang on. I'm hoping that some of the adverse impacts on Colorado will be mitigated if we get fewer MAGA folks in office and more progressive leaders in office who are willing to be a government that helps its people versus, building triumphal arcs in violation of LaFont's view of how Washington, D.C. should be laid out in a glorious classic
spoken
style.
Like a true Democrat.
And
that's why our county commissioners are a partisan race. because you vote for people who have values that you share. And you're hearing Rebecca Lloyd talk about her dedication to people. I will say that it seems as though there is a spirit of collaboration that is becoming more and more visible in this county. I recently read somewhere or heard the story of Troy Erickson's truck where he picks up food for the Veterans Coalition breaking down and not being able to pick up food, and due to a very expensive fix for his truck. And our road and bridge department came through.
Our fabulous mechanics at Road and Bridge.
And you're saying that they're out there today doing fire mitigation. So, you know, how wonderful it is that where we're seeing needs, we're seeing, you know, our county services do what they can to meet those needs, irrespective of which department they're in. So that's just wonderful that that is happening. And, you know, I don't know, that is a leadership kind of issue. So it could be under the new county manager, and that spirit is really being built in Clear Creek County, that collaborative spirit. You mentioned it around the SNAP benefits when we were all concerned that those were going to be really harmful to families here in Clear Creek. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for inspiring our county manager and his leadership. I hear nothing but good things about the new county manager.
Wonderful to work with, and he's, yes, he is not a believer in silos. He reaches out to everyone. We all need to band together to make this work for our county.
Yeah, so that's different, and that is absolutely terrific. I know that that was a very painful time for the county commission when we were. Between county managers, but Colton is really doing a fine job. So, Colton, if you're listening, good job.
Thank you, Colton.
Well, Rebecca, I'm wondering, do you have any kind of final thoughts? Here we are on as we approach the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts for us?
It's been a marvelous year and a half. I'm looking forward to many more years as serving as your Clear Creek County Commissioner, and looking forward to all the July 4th festivities in Georgetown and Idaho Springs, and celebrating what this country has accomplished and can accomplish in the future.
Yeah, hear, hear. Well, thank you so very much for being on with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we just love hearing what our leaders in this county are doing to help we the people. So I'll mention again, this show will be broadcast again on Friday at noon. And next week, Georgia Kofed, the police judge in Georgetown, will be on with us with Anna Boehner, the events coordinator, and we'll be talking about everything going on in Georgetown on the 4th and otherwise. So again, thank you all so much for listening today. Lori Beckel, signing off. Be safe out there.
To our town, it's gonna be good.